Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that this or that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Then Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch.
I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the tombstone of Jesus. I'll not preach very long, so there is hope, boys and girls. But I do want you to pay attention and listen on purpose. The tombstone of Jesus. Our text verses this morning describe the hasty events surrounding the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. At 3 o'clock that afternoon, He died as the Lamb of God, having become the once-for-all sacrifice for our sins. But what would they do with this broken and bloody body? You know, one thing I noticed as we read the Scriptures again today, that in verse 58 it says the body of Jesus. In verse 59, the body, He wrapped it in clean linen cloth. And God makes a distinction between the body of Jesus and Jesus. Just as many times I've stood at and preached funerals and stood over the casket of a loved one and tried to remind people that your husband, father, grandfather, brother, sister is not in the casket and is not going in the ground. That's simply the shell, the tabernacle that they lived in while they were on this earth, but now their spirit is with God. And Jesus was not being buried in the tomb. His body was being buried. Jesus had already given up the ghost and was now in paradise. But what would they do with His broken and bloody body? Would it be left on the cross to be abused by birds and flies and to begin to decay? Would He be taken down by the Romans and carted off to a common burial site with the other two thieves and maybe thrown in a hole in the ground in a mass grave and covered with dirt? Would He perhaps be just tossed into a pit, or perhaps even taken out to the garbage site where they would sometimes burn the bodies of the condemned along with the trash? What would happen to the body of Jesus? And at that moment, an influential man stepped into history. Joseph, a man from Arimathea, a rich man, a ruler among the Jews, but one who had been a secret disciple. He had not openly identified himself with Jesus Christ until this moment when Jesus had died and a decision must be made what to do with the body of Jesus. And he used his political pull and his influence to get into Pilate's office, and there he begged Pilate, it says he begged for the body of Jesus. And Pilate consented to allow Joseph of Arimathea to take the body away for burial. Can you picture in your mind, perhaps you cannot, but to think in your mind of them taking crowbars and pulling the nails out of Jesus' hands and feet and taking His limp body off of the cross with just a little bit of time to get His body, permission given and take His body off the cross. And Joseph had an estate nearby that site with a garden. And in that garden he had a new sepulcher. Now, sepulcher is not a word we use very often. We usually refer to mausoleums or a grave site, but in Jerusalem, they had many sepulchers carved into the mountainside. So, boys and girls, when you think about Jesus being buried, it wasn't that they dug a hole in the ground and put Jesus in a coffin and buried Him 6 feet under. But rather, a sepulcher was like a cave, but it was carved out by hand. And Joseph must have been an old man preparing for his own death, because he had spent a large amount of money to have this sepulcher hewn out by hand and had two burial spots inside of it for he and his wife. Had just been newly finished. And Joseph said, "Take the body of Jesus to the garden and take Him and place Him in my tomb." And they hurriedly wrapped His body in linen and carried Him away. Didn't have time for a proper anointing of the body and cleansing of the body as they normally would do, but quickly wrapped his bloody body in the linen shroud and carried him off and laid him inside that tomb. And then they rolled this giant stone into place to seal his dead body. Now, the religious rulers, they demanded of Pilate. You know, the only people that were concerned about the resurrection were Jesus' enemies. We pointed out in Sunday school this morning that it doesn't seem like any of the disciples expected him to rise. They were all unbelieving and then surprised and skeptical. But the religious rulers came to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what this deceiver said. He said after 3 days and three nights he would rise again. We want to make sure that no one goes in and steals his body, because if they can cart his body away and then they can claim that he rose from the dead, that the end of that would be worse than what we've already been dealing with." By the way, I thank God they made that demand, because it only increases the validity of Jesus' resurrection. Because Pilate said, "Fine, you have a watch. I'll set some Roman guards around it. We will seal it with the seal of the Roman Empire. You will have your watch for 3 days and three nights, and we'll put this to rest." Because Pilate in his own heart is saying, "The last person I want to see again is Jesus." And so they rolled the stone in place and they sealed it and set Roman guards in front of it, that men that could not be bought off, men who could not be lured away, men who would have given their lives rather than to abandon their post, because to abandon their post would have meant their own painful death by crucifixion. Now, as we focus on the tombstone of Jesus, what facts can we learn about this tombstone? Well, first is mentioned in all four Gospels. Every one of them mentions the stone that was rolled away. And then it was a round stone. You can picture this door as the entrance to the tomb. It would have been a little bit shorter, but there would have been a groove carved into the rock outside of the tomb. And in that groove, they would have placed this giant, flat, but round stone that would have been intentionally carved out just for this task. And it probably would have been 7 or 8 feet across and quite thick, and would have weighed hundreds of pounds. It would have taken a team of several strong men to roll it into its position. That's why when the ladies came that Sunday morning, there were three of them together, but they said, there's no way the three of us, even working together, can budge this stone. So it was a round stone, it was a great stone, and it was a sealed stone. That means that the Romans had perhaps put wax all the way around it, or had put wax in a particular spot on it, and then someone had taken his Roman signet and impressed the Roman seal upon that. And what that meant was the greatest human power on earth, the entire power of the Roman Empire, was saying, "This man's not leaving his tomb." Well, they were wrong, weren't they? I hate to tell you the end of the story, but I just want you to know they couldn't hold him in, could they? And that seal didn't stop the Lord Jesus Christ from rising from the dead. Now, as I got to thinking about the tombstone of Jesus, I began thinking about what a tombstone represents. Let me give you a few thoughts on what a tombstone represents. The tombstone represents fatality. I know this is an obvious point, but you know, every one of us knows we're going to die, and yet so few of us make any preparation for it. The tombstone represents fatality. It is evidence of mankind's fallen nature. Now, we know that there's two things that are certain, right? Taxes and death. We know that death is universal among mankind. Everyone dies, right? Where does death come from? Why do we all die one day? Well, the Bible says that death passed upon all men because all men are sinners. That from Adam we inherited a sin nature that makes us sinners by birth, and later we're sinners by choice. And because of that, because of Grandpa Adam, he sinned and brought death into the world, and all of us will live out a lifetime, which could be short or long, but we'll all die one day because of the presence of sin that is in us and in the world. Now, I'd like to think that I'm going to grow old one day, and when I finally had enough, I'll pull my feet up in my bed like they did in the Old Testament and give up the ghost. old and full of days, griping at my grandkids the whole way through. Now, I'm just kidding, but griping at my kids. You don't gripe at your grandkids. You gripe at your children. Is that right? And I hope that I'll live to be an old man and die in with fullness of days. But you know what? There's no promise of tomorrow. We don't know when we're going to die. And I hope all the kids and all the teenagers and young adults will listen, because it's important for us not just to know that we're going to die, but to make preparation so that when we die, we go to heaven and not to hell. You know, we have a cemetery near our house. And it's an old cemetery. It goes all the way back to the Civil War. And I walked through there one day just to see what the oldest tombstones might be. And there were some that went back to the 1860s. But I was very touched as I walked through there, and I found a whole row of tombstones. And they had first names on each of them. And they all had the same date of death. And it was five children, brothers and sisters, who had been killed in a house fire. And I pictured those parents or grandparents, if they'd survived, standing there 90 or 100 years ago and burying little children that died in a great tragedy. I just want us to understand, folks, and I hope the kids understand, that it's important for us to know that we're saved, because we all are going to die one day, and the tombstone speaks of fatality. One day, all of us are going to die, and the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. But it's not just boys and girls either. Us adults and older adults and middle-aged adults and young adults, we need to realize that there is a day of death that is coming. And we need to be ready to face God. The only way to be ready to face God is to be saved, to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. So death is a certainty. And the tombstone represents fatality. And then it represents a formality. Now think for a moment. Why did it matter to Joseph that Jesus was buried in his tomb? Joseph all this time had been afraid to identify himself with Christ. And yet now that Christ is dead, Joseph dares to step forward. Why did it matter so much to Joseph that Jesus be buried? Well, it mattered because Joseph loved Jesus and wanted to honor his life by giving him the formality of a decent burial. Now, I obviously, as a pastor, I go to more funerals than the average person. I want you to know I believe in funerals. Not for the dead, they don't care one way or the other. But for the living. And here, I mean, you go to a funeral because you honor the life and the memory of the person that had died. And the formality of a service and a coffin and a eulogy and a prayer is not about death, but the importance of life. And it recognizes the sacredness of that human life. I'm going somewhere with this, but think about it. We don't take human beings, and when they die, we throw them out with the trash. We go through all this elaborate formality of a preparation and a casket and a burial and a funeral service and all the formalities of that. For one reason, it's because that we are made in the image of God and human life is sacred. And we recognize that even when a person dies. And I want you to take away this thought, that your life has infinite value to God. Your life has infinite value to God. That you are not an accident, that you're not here for no reason, that God created you, that you are made in His image and after His likeness, that He put in you that spark of eternity, that you will never cease to exist because you're made in the image of God. And it's important for us to realize the sacredness of my life and the sacredness of your life and the sacredness of the life of the people around you. That's what I see in the burial of Jesus and the importance of not just letting His body decompose or being left out in the field or being tossed in with a common grave. But no, His life was sacred and it was special. So they had the formality of the tombstone. And then we say the tombstone represents finality. The Bible says to all living there is hope. If someone you love is sick, no matter how sick they are, you still hope for recovery. When death comes, it's final. Hope in this lifetime is extinguished at the point of death. Death is a finality. And the tombstone reveals it in its own writing, where it says the name birth-died, the finality. To the world, Jesus' tombstone represented the finality of His life and ministry. They thought they were done with Jesus forever. Surprise, surprise. 3 days later, He's back again, and the world is still dealing with Jesus. But you know, the Bible teaches us that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And that's why it is important that you get it settled in this lifetime, because when you die, it's too late to ever try to get it settled. You've got to get born again now, before the time of death. When death comes, it's a finality. And then the tombstone represents futility. We can treat sickness. Medicine can prolong life. Once death has come, it is beyond the power of any person to remedy it. The tombstone told the world that there's nothing anyone else can do. It's over, and it's beyond your power. No one can raise Jesus from the dead. It's going to take God to raise Jesus from the dead. And the tombstone represents our own futility in securing our own salvation. What can I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do to make sure that I'm going to heaven when I die? Can I get baptized enough? Can I join enough churches? Can I do enough good works? No, it's futility. There's only one way we can be saved and know it, and that is by the grace of God. Through the grace of God that He gives to us by our personal faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot earn it. You cannot do enough good works. You cannot get baptized enough. You cannot join enough churches. It is futile for you to do anything about your sins. But you don't have to do something about your sins because Jesus already died for your sins and offers salvation as a free gift to you. Well, I didn't want this sermon to be negative, because the tombstone of Jesus represents something very positive. The tombstone of Jesus represents defeat. Say, preacher, I thought you were going to be positive. Not the defeat of Jesus, but the defeat of the devil. And the defeat of death. 1 Corinthians 15 says that death is swallowed up in victory. That he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus died once for all, but His death was not final because it was the defeat of death and the devil. Amen. Well, I'm glad when I stand at a graveside that the grave doesn't laugh at me and say, I've got the victory, because I know that Jesus already won the victory over the grave. When you face death one day, you don't have to face it alone and defeated. You can face death in the shadow of the One who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm thankful that Jesus died once for all, but His death was not final. He told Pilate, He said, you can't take My life from Me. I lay My life down Myself, and I will take it back up again. So the tombstone of Jesus, though it was set in place, and it was great, and it was sealed, and it had the power of the Roman Empire behind it, yet it was not permanent because it could not hold Jesus Christ. He broke the power of the seal. He broke the power of those who held Him. He broke the power of death, and He broke the power of the devil. The tombstone represents defeat. And then the tombstone represents deliverance. You know, when they rolled the stone over the tomb of Jesus, that was supposed to be it. Instead, the stone was rolled away by the power of God, and Jesus was no longer there. He was delivered from the place of death. And what did the angels say? Why seek you the living among the dead? He was a place of deliverance. In Hebrews 2, the Bible says that Jesus died to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I realize that people today don't often think about when they're going to die and what's going to happen. In fact, I think most people just assume, no matter how they live, when they die, they're going to heaven. But you have no basis for that apart from Jesus Christ. My pastor used to say that when he was a teenager, 13, 14, 15 years old, that sometimes he would lie awake at night after hearing the preacher preach on hell. And he was terrified that he was going to die and go to hell. And he was in bondage to that fear until he turned his heart over to Jesus Christ and got saved. Then he was delivered from that lifetime of fear. Folks, you don't have to be afraid when Jesus and His tombstone represents deliverance. You know, a dead Savior can't deliver anyone, but a living Savior can deliver anyone. Isn't that a blessing? Then the tombstone of Jesus represents delight. Now, I've never had much delight going to a graveyard. But I read in Matthew 28, they had a lot of delight when they left the graveyard. For it says that they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. When they found out that Jesus was alive again, folks, all of their fears and their terror and their frustration was immediately turned to overwhelming joy that their Savior was still alive. Let me tell you one more difference between the Lord's tombstone and the rest of humanity. Our tombstones have two dates. It'll say born/died. By the way, it matters what goes in that dash. Born/died. Jesus said in Revelation 1, I am he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. Amen. His tombstone has a birthday. You want to put Christmas down? His birthday, his life has a death, Calvary. And then his tombstone has another dash that says forevermore. Amen. He's alive and in heaven today. And he wants to be in your heart. He wants to be in your heart. So where is Jesus? He's up in heaven. What's he doing? Well, one thing he's doing is he's watching and listening. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's watching and he's listening. Any person, wherever they are, can turn to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and call upon his name and know that that living Savior has promised to save them and take them to heaven when they die. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can go to heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be. He wants us to be with him in heaven. You've got to be saved. He's got to be in your heart.